the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We trust you.
His covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done.
His miracles and judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You remember remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations. That of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan.
When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in
from this time forth and forevermore.
I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel
will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in
from this time forth.
Going out and you're coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the fourth chapter. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written. I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son,
that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Amen. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is our text. You must be born again. You must have a rebirth. Jesus insists on this. He says that without it, no man can see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus probably wasn't surprised to hear that God's kingdom is connected with birth. After all, it was by birth that Nicodemus himself claimed to be a part of that very kingdom. By birth, he was a Jew, the offspring of Abraham, a member of God's chosen people. As a Jew, he was waiting for God to restore his earthly kingdom. He was looking for God to reestablish David's throne in Jerusalem. He even knew that when the kingdom of God came, it would last forever and ever, just as God had promised. Nicodemus believed that for anyone to become a part of this kingdom, that person had to become a Jew. They had to be circumcised. They had to follow the law of Moses. Without that, no one would see the kingdom of God. And it was this interest that Nicodemus had in the kingdom of God that drew him to Jesus in the first place, though you'll note that he came by night. He came for a secret meeting. He didn't want anyone to see him. He didn't want to be mistaken for a follower of Jesus. He didn't want to be mocked and belittled by the other Pharisees. But he also didn't want to miss this opportunity to learn about God's kingdom. Because Jesus, as he says, is obviously a teacher come from God. His miracles and signs, his teaching with authority, prove that God is with him. Maybe Jesus is even a prophet. So surely Jesus can provide some insight into what God required of people in order for the kingdom to be restored. So that the kingdom comes by birth would not have been a surprise or a shock, but there was a little word that caught Nicodemus by surprise. It was the little word, again. That word was so unexpected, so confusing. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying that being a Jew by birth wasn't enough. A new birth was needed. What could that mean? It might refer to another physical birth, I suppose, but to Nicodemus, as to you and me, that seems pretty impossible. What was he missing? Was there a different way to understand the rebirth that Jesus referred to? So he asked, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Have you talked to my mom about this?" Of course that isn't possible. That's not something Nicodemus could do. Even if Jesus said, "Yes, that's what I mean," Nicodemus couldn't make it happen. He wasn't able to bring about that sort of rebirth. So Jesus explains again to Nicodemus and to us what that little phrase, born again, means. That little word again in Greek has a double meaning. It's really lovely how John conveys this to us. It does mean, on the one hand, again, for a second time. And that's how Nicodemus heard it. That's how it's translated in most of our Bibles. But the word also means from above, from heaven. And Jesus had that meaning in mind as well. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." In other words, to be born again is not to be born again physically out of our mother's womb a second time, but it refers to a spiritual rebirth, to be born again by the Spirit. A physical rebirth would simply be flesh begetting flesh again, like every other union of man and woman. You know how it is. Children inherit traits and genes and their human nature from their parents. And that line goes all the way back from you to your parents, to your grandparents, to Adam and Eve. So we know where our family history ends up. We know what it means to be born in this way, to be born a first time from our parents. It means to be born in the likeness of sinful Adam. And that's how you and I were born, from our fathers and our mothers. We received damaged flesh. We received a corrupted human nature passed on from them. And of course, this also means that our children have received that same nature from us. This is what we call, what we know as original sin. All people are born with it. Like a rotten tree, it produces rotten fruit. Sin is not something that has to be learned. It is something that is innate. Every child picks it up pretty quickly and pretty naturally. And from original sin comes the desire that leads to acts of sin in thought, word, and deed, as we confessed already earlier. So this is what it means. From birth, all people are under the power of the devil. All people are dead in sin. All people are walking in darkness and outside the kingdom of God, damned and subject to eternal death. And this is true not only of Gentiles, but also of Jews like Nicodemus. It's true not only of adults, but also of teenagers, and not only of teenagers, but also of every infant. It's true not only of babies born to unbelievers, but of babies born to Christian parents. That which is born of flesh is flesh. To be a son of Adam is to be a man of dust. And this is why Jesus speaks so clearly about the importance and even the necessity of being born again. Unless one is born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A spiritual problem requires the Spirit's work. The old man, the young man, the freshborn babe must each be reborn by the Holy Spirit. And this rebirth isn't simply a metaphor for becoming like a baby in God's eyes. It's a spiritual reality. Jesus says, we must truly be reborn. What's interesting is that all Christian churches recognize this in some way. That to be part of God's kingdom requires a new birth. Although there are some Christians, oddly, who seem to exempt children from that, who say that children don't really need to be reborn until they've reached an age of reason or some age of accountability. Jesus doesn't say that. He makes it universal. But how one is born again is a matter of deep disagreement among Christian churches. To be born again, Jesus says, is to be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus uses these phrases in tandem, born again, born of water and the Spirit, when he speaks with Nicodemus. Water and the Spirit belong together. They cannot be separated. They belong together, and together they describe the one birth that all people need. And so to be born again is to be baptized. To be baptized not as a work of man, but as the work of God, the Holy Spirit, through the water. How can that be? Well, baptism, we believe, is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word, which is to say, it is the water where the Holy Spirit is at work. This is what our Lord himself says in the last chapter of Matthew. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Some Christians think that to be born again refers to a personal commitment on the part of an individual. But I would ask them this. Has anyone ever given birth to himself? Has anyone ever given birth to himself by their own commitment, by their own decision and choice? Birth is not something we can do. We cannot make it happen. Instead, it's something that happens to us. It's something that happens apart from anything that we do. And so also it is with spiritual rebirth. What we need isn't a change that Nicodemus or you or I can make. If it was dependent on my commitment, on my decision, then I can tell you again, I can tell you very clearly, at best I would be only half reborn. My commitment is never perfect. My decision is never enough. So it's not just a matter of our human reason. It's not just a matter of our human will. Even those things are corrupted and in need of conversion. No, the old Adam in us, that old sinful nature, the flesh, needs to be replaced wholly and completely by a new man. And that requires a new birth. A new birth which only the Holy Spirit can accomplish, and which he does accomplish, which he has accomplished in holy baptism. And I don't want to lose that point. Those of you here who are baptized, and I think that's most, almost all of you, this means that this work has already taken place in your life. It means you don't need to be searching for another birth to happen. All you need is to go back to the new birth that you already have. Now, some might say, well, this makes faith unnecessary. If all that's required is to be baptized, then faith is out the window. But of course, that's not true. Faith is absolutely necessary. Our Lord's words make that clear. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How could the gift of salvation be received unless faith was present to take hold of it, to trust it? But where does that faith come from? How is faith created? It cannot be man's work. Original sin makes one without faith. It makes us incapable of producing faith. Therefore, if we are to have faith, faith must come as a gift. And so it is. Faith is a gift of God. Your faith in Christ is not your own doing. Your faith that holds to the promises of your baptism is not something that you created or decided on, but it is something that God gave to you. As it says in the first chapter of John, to all who receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the rights of children of God, who were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. And that's how we become children of God. And that is how we receive Jesus and believe in his name. So the key phrase in today's reading isn't receive and it isn't believe, but it is born. That is the key word. In baptism, the Spirit gives exactly what is required. It gives faith and hope and wholehearted love for the Lord. Another name for what I'm talking about here is baptismal regeneration. Baptismal being made new. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. St. Paul says here that salvation, water, and the Holy Spirit are connected to rebirth. St. Peter also says baptism now saves you. And he says that according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born, to be reborn again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The apostles' words follow the words of our Lord. Baptism isn't merely a human response to the gospel. It isn't simply a sign of spiritual rebirth. Baptism is the gospel. Baptism is the rebirth worked by God the Holy Spirit. Baptism is where Christ comes to us with his death and resurrection. And so baptism is a necessity. It is not something indifferent. It is not something unimportant. Another way of thinking about this new birth that Jesus gives is that the new birth that comes by the Holy Spirit is his birth. For only he who ascended into heaven can reveal such heavenly things as we've heard today. He descended from heaven and was born as a man, but not after the natural order. You know how it was. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and not by a male. And so as the Son of God, he came with a new birth himself that he might give this new birth to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. His only Son descended from David according to the flesh. His only Son lifted up on the cross as King of the Jews. And from that cross he gave out his Spirit. From that cross living water flowed from the place where the spear pierced his side. Jesus Christ, the crucified Son of God, has given holy baptism. He has given the baptism that you have received, so that we, together with Nicodemus, might be reborn in his heavenly image, so that we might enter his kingdom, so that we might live under his eternal reign. This life is already yours in Christ. You have been born again of the Spirit, so that you belong to Jesus, so that you have the promise that you will see and enter the kingdom of God. A man becomes a true descendant of Abraham and an heir of the world to come, not by the first birth of flesh, but rather by being born again to faith through water and the Spirit. And as through baptism we share with Jesus in his birth and are united to his death, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the day for you to return to the new birth that is yours through holy baptism, to return to the place where you were put to death with Christ and you have been raised to new life, to return to the place where God has promised to place his kingdom, the kingdom that is not only here and now in Christ, but the kingdom that will be forever and ever. Born of water and the Spirit, this is who you are, one who belongs to the kingdom of God, the kingdom that has come and comes still in Christ Jesus. In his name. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. For your hearing our prayers on behalf of Hattie, we give you thanks. Into your merciful hands we commend Michael and Amanda, Eva, Eli, and their extended family, Audrey, Mary, Catherine, Al, Anne, Cynthia, Vivian, Jim, John, Kay, Thane, Bobby Joe, Rich and Carol, Jackie, Judy, Jackie and Will and their family, Laura Lee, Michelle, Jason, the family and friends of Al Walters, Eldon, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land and around the world, especially in Ukraine. Bless our homes and be with all expectant mothers and their little ones, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, Abby, and Emma Emmerich. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And finally, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy, to hear and answer us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
And be proclaimed for the salvation of souls and for the joy and the strength of Christ's holy people, so that we serve you with steadfast faith and confess your name to the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.